This podcast does contain spoilers, so if you're okay with that, listen on. If not, pause the podcast, go watch the movie we're about to talk about, and come on back.
All right, sweet.
Excuse me.
Brian, over here. Hey.
Pardon me.
Why don't you have the popcorn?
It's starting!
Woo!
Hey!
Shut up. Shut up and listen to the podcast. Hey!
There's a lot out there to see. This is what we watched.
Dude, there was one part that really creeped me out. In my opinion, the face huggers, were very sexual assaulty. Where they're trying to jam that tongue.
Dude, did you know that's like the original intent behind them? They were supposed to be make you feel uncomfortable in that way since the first Alien.
It doesn't shock me, but like this is the most, this is the like
grossest
most we've watched it like try to shove it.
Oh yeah, like it's like literally the dude's face.
We'll call it a tongue, trying to shove its tongue down that person's throat.
It's baby giving tongue.
Baby what we watch. Baby giving tongues. All right, well, it is what we watch this week. Welcome in. Hello, Jeff.
Hello.
Yeah. As everyone can see who's watching the video,
We are in space.
We're in space. We're covering Alien Romulus, the newest installment in the Alien franchise. Ooh. Jeff, have you seen all the Alien stuff, or how much
have you seen? Over the years, let's see. I've definitely seen the first one.
Alien.
Yep. And then I think I've seen Aliens, which is the second James Cameron one, I think.
Yes.
Bill
Paxton's in it.
I just don't remember. But the one I do remember seeing like in passing when I was a kid was it must be Alien 3, because that's the one where she has like the alien xenomorph baby or whatever. Right.
Yeah, it's inside her. Yeah, she gets impregnated with the tongue. She gets impregnated
the baby making tongue
by one of the queens. So the xenomorph would not attack her because they could sense the queen. Yeah, that was the third one.
Yep.
She was on a prison planet.
Because she, because the baby was, like, nice to her, and then, like, they were cool for a bit, right? Or no?
Well, the baby was inside her the whole time until the very end. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Spoilers for Alien 3. Because at the very end, like, they're trying to kill all the aliens and stuff like that, and then the Weyland Enterprise shows up, and their plan is to capture her because they want what's inside her. And she wants to end it, so she sacrifices herself and jumps in. I want to say it's lava. She jumps in some lava, and as she's going down, that's when the alien pops out of her chest, but doesn't go anywhere. Like goes into the lava or molten, whatever it is. I forgot what it was. With her, so she kills them. She kills both her and
Ripley?
The yes, Ripley.
Wow. Okay, I don't remember that.
Yes, but you know why? Because then 4, they said, "Eh, fuck that shit," and cloned her.
Yeah, yeah.
And so she's exactly back. And also the weirdest thing in 4, I think, is they cloned her, but then when they cloned her, supposedly they cloned the alien with her. Hypothetically, it was all one big package. So then they took the alien out of her, I believe.
Interesting.
If I remember correctly. I will say, I've been rewatching all of them over the last like 3 weeks or so. So it's not as fresh as so when we get into Alien Romulus, I have some of the Easter eggs, but I don't have a ton.
Okay.
Because some of the stuff is a little confusing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But we are talking Alien Romulus, which is set in between. I know for a fact it's set in between Alien 1 and Alien 2 and Aliens. Because at the end of Aliens, Ripley goes into cryo sleep with her cat, which
Jonesy.
I'm sure you love. Yep, that one. And it's about 57 year gap between one and two, where she's just cryo sleeping somewhere in space.
Right. And I think this one, Romulus, is supposed to take place 4 years after the first movie.
I believe the robot, the android, I forgot what they call it, synthetic.
Yep.
Said about 20 years. I thought 20 years.
I thought I heard somewhere four, but I could be wrong.
I mean, I'm not really sure. It's definitely after and then before they wake her up because I mean, like, so two, when they wake her up in two, they reference a, I'm trying to remember exactly what they call. I believe they called it like a colonizing planet that they haven't heard from anybody in a very long time. They reference it as like somewhere stuck in my brain. It says 57 years. Mm. I mean, 57 years, 57 families. Now that I just said that out loud though, maybe I'm mixing the 57 year gap with the 57 families on there. So maybe I'm really wrong about that.
57 is relevant in some way.
Yeah, apparently. I didn't realize until just now that I made that up.
But either way, the main point being this one takes place after the first Alien movie because, correct me if I'm wrong, the alien that they pick up and find in space in the very, very beginning is the alien that Ripley sent, like, ejected out of the ship into space.
Correct. Yep. That's what the notion is. That one, I guess, fossilized somehow, which I didn't know.
I think it's part of its happens. Like, apparently, so I've been piecing that together in my head too, but because these are the perfect organisms, they're like survivalists and stuff like that. So I think it's like maybe a defense mechanism that it went into a cocoon state because just to protect it and put it into its own cryosleep in a way.
I can see that.
Because they say somewhere that they don't need to eat, they don't need to sleep. Like they're perfect in those ways. They can still die, obviously, if they get like crushed.
I was about to say.
But they're
more or less perfect.
Yes. As best they can be.
Mm-hmm. So before we get into like the actual movie, I'm going to pull up some numbers. God, this flickering. Even in space, the flickering. I'm going to pull up some box office numbers and stuff to see how it's doing. But I want to bring up. So if anybody's listening, we have a Johnny Depp draft that came out the most recent Sunday. This is coming out Thursday. So go back, watch the draft, fill out the survey to see, you know, pick which Johnny Depp movies are your favorites. And then we go points off of that. That's this week. Then this should be the first week of our new month of Movie Club, which is we're doing another nostalgia, which I think is like the third month of nostalgia or whatever like that. And the very first movie that we're doing is The Time Machine from 2002?
Yes, I believe so.
1957. From 2002. And a little spoiler because, you know, sorry, we've already recorded that. But at the beginning of it, Jeff... Mm-hmm. You go, hey, Matt, why is your sound so, you sound so weird? And I'm like, Jeff, you're a fool. Everything's going to sound perfectly fine to the audience. It's just you guys that don't know. And I did figure out why I couldn't send my microphone through my computer. Guess what, Jeff? It was turned really far down. And that, so I was sending it through when you guys couldn't hear me, but it was just so low.
Interesting. So wait, low through which part of your like setup?
The preamp on the mixer was set at like 0.5. And I also did realize it like partial of the way through. So I have not started to edit that that pod yet. So I'm not sure if it's going to be noticeable. I imagine it will be noticeable and people, it will get annoyed. But, whoops. So when I'm telling Jeff that he's a fool, he was kind of partially right. And hopefully, unfortunately, my bad, guys. Whoops.
Well, we'll see if it's just me and Brandon talking to dead space.
Nah. At the very least, I'm going to jump in and be like, okay, Matt says this. This is where I said this. This is where I said this. It'll be. But hey, and even if it's not, come listen to the train wreck.
Well, I was gonna say worst case scenario, it's the recording from the Zoom meeting or Google Meets, right?
That will not 100% you will not be hearing the sound from that, because it is horrible.
Even if there's no other option?
Yeah, I'll just jump in and record my own voice going.
This is what I would have said right here. This is what I'm thinking right now as I'm listening back.
Roughly, I'm saying this. Okay, this is where I'm saying this. It's a funny joke. Just don't worry about it.
I said something funny. That's why Jeff's laughing.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay, so back to the main event. Opening weekend for Alien Romulus. It had a pretty good opening weekend. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's not Deadpool or Inside Out 2. It made about $42 million opening weekend.
Just
domestic. As we're recording this, it's been out for 8 days, and worldwide they are up to $129 million. So they're doing pretty damn good.
Yeah.
For 8 days so far.
What'd they spend?
Yeah, I was gonna look that up. I imagine it's gotta be like a decent chunk, because like the production looks good. Man. Yeah, dude. Oh my god.
Second viewing, dude, I liked it even better. Like
while I'm looking that up, if we want to roll into thoughts and feelings and stuff, do you want to start with personally, I think my favorite of the part of the whole movie, and ooh, if we roll around to Oscar times and this shit is not like, if not a favorite to win,
yeah,
it's got to be. But the production design was out of this fucking world.
Three of the
dude.
Biggest.
I did that on accident.
There's a few things, like to me, the production design stood out, but then also the sound design. How fucking fun would that have been to like. Sound edit this fucker, like,
yes,
all the sci-fi
absolutely.
And horror sounds, and then cinematography, like they're really cool horror shots, but on top of that also just like the lighting, it like I haven't gotten that exciting about lighting since like John Wick 4, when there's just like lots of patterns and flashes and colors and things, and they just got to do, you know, every part of the ship had a different lighting design, and it was so cool.
There's a lot of sections of this movie that reminded me of other things. Like I felt a lot of the lighting and shots gave me very Stranger Things vibes to me.
Okay.
Like the red, whenever they were doing the red background. Mm-hmm. There's another really like it, the whole time I was watching it, I was like, I would love this production team to be given this cult classic TV show that they're constantly threatening to bring back at some point. And it felt so much like this, and go ahead and say it.
It's Firefly.
Absolutely, yeah. Dude. The ships looked like Firefly. The insides.
But
I was
so
like,
would you
I
want
would
it to
love...
look that like horror styled, even though it's like, well, do you yeah. want well, like that's... the same comedic elements and stuff?
Well, so that's the thing. I was the whole time, I'm like, I don't want to give it necessarily to the director. I want to give it to the production team, because I thought they did a fantastic job. But yeah, the horror and stuff doesn't give the Firefly vibe. But
yeah.
Like, dude, the ship felt like literally felt like Serenity to me and stuff from the outside.
Yeah.
And I thought they were gorgeous designs. Mm-hmm. On the note of the production design, on like there's an extra level of, yes, everything looked, you know, flawless, it looked lived in, it looked all this stuff, but what my biggest what I was most impressed by on the production design was their ability to make it like futuristic, scientific, mm-hmm. but also old.
Yeah,
because you gotta remember this is set right after the Aliens, which was what, like 30-40 years
yeah.
ago, so it felt very like, oh, could still space travel,
right?
But then we had old computers.
Well,
they kept
the old aesthetics, like they held true to the old
absolutely.
Original aesthetics, which was awesome.
Beautiful blend
And that's something that honestly Disney has done pretty well too in terms of the Star Wars stuff. Like they have kept a lot of those old machines and things as well in their production design for this, like, you know, futuristic sci-fi kind of spectacle. So I do applaud these like production design teams for being able to pull that off well. Super cool.
Dude, honestly, it is.
Yeah.
From the first planet that they're on to the space station, I guess. They called it like an outpost, but yeah, it was like a space station, right?
Mm-hmm. But jumping even further off of that, this is like kind of like Twisters. This movie impressed me with the CG that they incorporated into it. They did a really good blend to me of CG to practical effects.
I think there might be like one or two CG shots here and there that I was like,
There are a couple.
Yeah.
But
I thought the CG was very good, but to me, it's not like, it's below the Oscar level nomination to me.
See, I don't know.
I think there was just a couple of warts that just took it out of that realm for me personally, but it was still great. I'm not saying it's
like
bad or anything,
honestly, I don't know. It's so hard to judge for me. I think it could still get nominated because sure, there was like the couple that stood out to me. There was like the like deep fake look of the android Rook or whatever from like the first movie. His face,
oh, dude,
his face. That was probably the worst one for me. It takes me out of it every time I first see his face. But
honestly, it's super weird to me because his face, half the shots of his face looked fucking horrible.
Yeah.
And then some of the shots looked
fine.
Gorgeous to me.
Yeah.
And I couldn't
That it's the first shot.
Why?
The first shot to me stood out so badly.
Yep.
And then later on, you start to forgive it for some reason.
Yeah. Bilbo Baggins from the very first one. He's the original.
Yeah.
Android that fucks everyone over because he's an asshole.
He's still an asshole in this one, spoilers.
Yeah, he is.
But to go on even further than that, though, like, you know, you could tell that some of like the when the face huggers were really running and like jumping around, those were CG a bit. Like, those didn't bother me nearly as much. But then I think of scenes where like outside, like the rings around the planet, like the rocks and stuff, and then the spaceship going out from the colony up through the sky and the lightning, all that shit looked fucking gorgeous. So it's like that to me is Oscar worthy kind of CG for sure.
I agree with you. Just some of the other ones, that's my problem. Which I just based off the other stuff is I feel like some of the CG shots, the face and all that stuff, it's hard for me to like put it with the Oscar noms. Again, like I always say, depending on what else, when we look at all the list, if I can't find four, it's just hard for me to believe that I couldn't find four that just straight CG looked better throughout. But I absolutely agree with you. The exteriors, especially the exteriors.
Yeah.
Were absolutely gorgeous, and I love like space stuff.
Yeah, it looked so good. You
know, oh my god, dude! Yeah. I could have just you said because you saw this first, and then I saw it after you, and then you saw it again after me. But when you watched it before I watched it, you commented on some of the early like it took a while to set up the world.
It felt
right?
like it had That's a slower start to me, but then yes, like it felt like learning about like the characters and things. Felt slow to me the first time I watched it, but second viewing it felt fucking fine. Like they did a good job.
I thought it was fantastic. I could have lived in that world. I could have had a movie of just like her trying to get off that planet, not even like have it a horror or anything like that. I could have watched that. To me, if we're like talking story wise, I personally thought the third act dragged a little bit to me. I feel like we could have cut some of the stuff out in the third act and just made it a little bit more like shorter. Like I understand the wanting to go from like, we think we're safe and then turns out we're not and stuff, which, I'm fine with that. But I thought the before, I think we're safe dragged on a little too much. We could have cut some of the stuff out.
When you say the we're safe, you're referring to when they finally get off the outpost station?
Romulus, and then Remus. They put her... Yeah, then they almost put her in the Sigourney Weaver costume that she's always in, and all of them.
Yeah.
She's always in, like, a white tank top and then, like, white underwear.
Yeah.
But then they didn't put her... They didn't put... in the white underwear, though. I was like, oh, it was so close. Not that I was like wanting that necessarily, but it was like, oh, it looked like they're trying to do
like
homage to her outfit, but not like entirely.
And I think they in with some ways did like it's it's their preparation for cryo sleep kind of situation. Yeah. So, you know, take it as you will.
Dude, I mean, in all the other ones, they managed to get her in that outfit every single movie, yeah. like all four movies, I felt like they were like, and then this is where, obviously, this is the she goes down to her underwear scene. Okay.
That was the first scene we wrote.
We based the movie around this, of her getting in the cryo. Speaking of Ripley, how did you feel? Do you think Rain was a representation of Ripley? Do you think they did a good job? Or do you think they were even trying to make Rain Ripley?
I don't know. I didn't feel like Rain was Ripley. Granted, I
agree.
I would not know how to I've seen the first Alien movie probably two, maybe three times. Mm-hmm. I know Ripley's this badass character and stuff, but Rain felt very much like her own character in her own world.
She felt much more helpless than Ripley. In Ripley's, she's generally, like you said, the badass, and she's like, she's the one that, like, you know, kind of rescues everybody and ends up doing everything and, like, being the sole survivor and stuff. And in this one, I'm glad they didn't just try to copy paste Ripley's character and just reskin it.
Mm-hmm.
Rain definitely felt like her own character, which I liked. I liked the character.
Same. Complex.
What?
I said complex character.
Oh, complex. I thought you called her Lex, and I was about to be like, have I been calling her the wrong name? but the only bit that kind of annoyed me was at the wherever the section it was when the robot had to come and be the final, like, shoot the alien before they get
Andy.
They escape the outpost. Yeah, Andy shows up, and I was like, kind of like, she couldn't even, like, save herself. Like, I was really wishing she was the one that did that. She eventually, you know, ended up being the one to save it. But at that moment, I was like, ugh.
Well, I have problems with that elevator scene. Like, there's a couple problems with that elevator scene. The one being, this is one of the most, again, with the deep fake face of scientist Rook or whatever, being the overall one. This is the second one, is that she is falling after that gravity purge, and the alien saves her.
Yes,
literally,
that
it
was so
saves
weird.
Her and sets her on the ladder, and then it's like, and then it starts moving towards her, like, I'm gonna kill you slowly, maybe.
And well, they had to get the classic alien shot that they have with the alien. I don't know where to put my hand, so my hand motion. The alien. See, Jeff, this is really distracting because I use my hands a ton, and I just can't
like none
do
of
it.
That emotion is here.
Nobody sees it. I'm still doing the hand motions. Every once in a while, you'll see the hand.
We can
go
switch
in between
to
the face.
Just the space.
No. It was so weird that the alien.
If I were that alien, I would have just acted like I was fishing. I'd wait for her to come close and then just stab her with my tail and catch her.
Yeah,
versus just
absolutely.
Grab her, catch her gracefully, and then set her on the ladder.
I don't understand the logic of it grabbing her and placing her nicely
down. I'm going to kill you. I need you to know that I'm going to kill you. I don't want to just kill you without you knowing.
I'm like a super, like a sci-fi where I feed off your anxiety and your anger
Unless,
and your fear.
Now that I'm thinking about it upon second viewing, it might have set her there so that, because there was a face hugger that was about to jump on her before Andy shot that.
I personally don't think of them as that, like,
well, so that's how they
high level intelligent. I know they reference they're so smart and shit, but
that's how they reproduce though, was through those face huggers.
And I understand that, but like, I feels like I normally on the other ones, and maybe I just miss it. Had a different interpretation of what they were trying to do. But other alien movies, they don't seem that smart. Like, they're smart enough to hunt and stuff, mm-hmm. but I don't see them really doing the, like, multi-level, okay, I need to restrain myself because we need to reproduce more. And also, I felt like there was a ton of them anyways, right? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, she did just kill a bunch of them before that scene.
Yeah, but you'd think he'd be like, oh, they're killing a bunch of us. Maybe I should just kill this one, and then I'll just find more humans.
Yeah.
Because realistically, you're going to get one extra thing out of her.
One more perfect organism.
Yes, right. Yeah, very true, very true. One more perfect organism.
I don't know. That's the other scene. But going back to the cinematography a bit, like, how did you feel about it? Because, like, man... If anyone's ever played the game Dead Space, they'll know what I'm talking about. But man, it's just like the classic horror space look, dude. They killed it. Like, moving lights. Like there's like a shot of like on the outer edge of this ship where there's those windows bordering like where the sun is and stuff. But like even when like it's the ship they flew in on when it was about to crash and stuff. Like, I mean, just all the shots. You pick any shot, it's like they're all so gorgeous. Like,
yes, yeah, they love. I love the
moving
the, like,
lights, like the, with the sun.
For those
the
listening,
ships.
I'm going to be pulling up photos on the
God, it's so
video
good.
On the YouTube. Yes, dude, the cinematography, like if I rewatch it, can I just say this is like the most badass poster? I think.
Oh, I want it.
Yeah, look at this, dude.
Yeah.
So cool. Yes, there are like if I were to watch it again, like be able to sit down with it and really like break it down, I'm sure I could find more tendencies and styles and things they're doing specifically. But it was gorgeous and it wasn't boring.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout, it felt very horror to me. I've never played Dead Space. Okay,
yeah, like here I'll show you some Dead Space images here. Sorry, folks freaking, that are just listening, but you should go check this stuff out.
I'll just keep talking about.
But yeah,
bullshit.
Here, look, let's see. So like, this was like the cinematics from the game, and the game style was like very dark and like through shit like that too. Like, so
yeah,
fucking good.
That.
Oh my gosh!
But like, it's dark, and then like what lights it up? It kind of feels like it's like LED lights in the background or so, kind of.
Yeah, but they did. What Romulus did too was just a lot of atmospheric shit, like. They, mm-hmm. you know, there's the scene where I forget her name, the sister of like the main dude, like
who cares?
Yeah, you know, the sister and brother combo. The sister when she fell and like the water sprinklers turn on, like they had this really cool atmospheric look with the water and shit too. They just did everything. Like they had the moving lights, like pulsing lights going through, and strobes and just lighting.
Her
lighting
name was
porn.
Kay. I think it was Kay.
Kay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Rain was the main girl.
Yep.
Kaylee Spaney, whatever it is. And then Kay is Elizabeth. I'm not even. Fuck it. Kay. And then the other chick was Navarro.
Yes.
And then there the men were Andy, or men, quote unquote, robot.
He's a real fake
Tyler
person.
Is the, Tyler is the main one. And then the douchey friend that annoyed
douchey
the shit
cousin.
Out of me was Bjorn.
Bjorn?
I can't imagine that sound.
Bjorn?
What?
Bjorn?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It did. It, like, now that you're showing me you showed me the Dead Space, it did, it definitely felt very similar to that. Because Dead Space is a, like, right? It's like a space horror kind of video game.
Yeah.
Well, it's not super horror elements, but it's like, it, you know, is a regular gameplay, which then had some scary moments and stuff, just because you can't just have, you know, the straight up horror game that long.
But that being said, though, I don't know if you felt the same way, but watching this movie again, it gave me vibes of a video game playthrough, because these characters, you know, you have your initial like meetup, and then they're just like, here's our objective, and then you go to the place. Okay, here our objective is to go find these cryo fuel and pods or whatever. Oh, they're out, like, we don't have enough fuel. Okay, here's the next objective. The fuel is over this way in this station. Go there. And then now you run into all a bit of your monsters and things.
I can see that.
Like, just step-by-step objectives. And then, God, I swear he's, like, this director is, like, a Resident Evil fan, because they have shit like that in Resident Evil constantly, where they're like, oh, this side of the lab is Remus, this one is Romulus, and then just like based off animals and like symbology and things like that. And then let alone that like elevator that goes down to the laboratory, classic Resident Evil. Like, so it was super interesting. I really wonder if he likes, like, well, I actually did run into an interview or article where he said he's played the Alien video games, and he really enjoyed that horror style of the Alien universe, and that's what he kind of based some of his ideas off of as well. I haven't played the games.
I'll say like the Alien franchise as a whole, it feels like it generally goes through like different styles. Mm-hmm. It changes. Like,
yeah, totally.
The first one was horror. The second one was an action.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The third James and Cameron. Fourth one, they kind of made it a little bit more like cheesy action-y.
Yeah.
Prometheus and that sequel felt more like, honestly, less of a horror and less of a alien movie and more of like a thinker kind of cinematic vibe. And I'm so glad, and I thought it was a great choice for this one, Romulus, to go back to the roots mm-hmm. of horror
yes.
and really make it scary as fuck.
Yes.
And I thought they did a great job of just, and this kind of might go to like the Dead Space vibe that you're kind of bringing up, just like creepy. Mm-hmm. Like we were talking about before, the face hugger was always kind of intended to be that creepy, mm-hmm. you know, very creepy sexual assault-y vibe. Yep. And they just nailed it even farther here.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, lack of a better term, the alien, the human alien was so fucking creepy, dude.
Yeah. Dude,
so creepy.
The first shot of him when he's like in that little yes. hole, like tunnel,
oh.
and the lights are flashing and you see him crawling up, dude. Oh, so oh. fucking creepy. And then
I was like, oh. when they showed, oh, and she was like, oh yeah, I'm pregnant.
Uh-huh.
I was like, uh-oh, yep. I know
it's
gonna
like, I've
happen.
Seen this before.
I know it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Also, I said lack of a better term because you would say that one was supposed to be the human version of Alien, right? Because Alien, so throughout the series, uh-huh. aliens take multiple different
Yeah, they
forms.
Mix their DNA with whoever, yeah.
Correct. So there was like a dog one, there's mm-hmm. a predator one, you know, there's multiple different kinds. And so the dog one, they attach to the dog, impregnate the dog,
uh-huh.
lack of a better term, lay seeds in the dog, and then it comes out as a dog form one,
yeah.
right? So I know we're going to refer to the new one as a human one, but my argument would be the normal one is the human one. Because the normal one that we see
yes.
is the face huggers putting the seed in a human,
yes.
and then it comes out a human. So that's the human
version,
technically.
I wouldn't even refer to this one as a normal or human one because of the fact that it was spawned because of the black Prometheus oil stuff, because she injected herself in the neck.
I guess,
so
yes,
she did not get seeded the same way.
She did not get seeded, you're right.
they did, like, because you saw Prometheus.
Well,
didn't something similar like that happen?
She did get seated the normal way, but that was earlier with a human dude. You're talking, did not get seated by the face.
She got seated our normal way.
That is very true. That is very true.
Yeah.
And honestly, that kind of goes to like Prometheus style, where, God, in Prometheus, I don't know how many actually got like, I think maybe one or two got actually seated.
Mm-hmm.
Like the classic style is mostly like the black gook, which is where like the Prometheus vibes come from to me. That you're saying is like, oh, you know, if you've seen Prometheus, I don't know if it would help you necessarily, but that is kind of how they made monsters, is it was much more of black gook got into people
mm-hmm.
rather than the face hugger stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't.
Well, I was going to say, did you know an interesting fact about that offspring creature? Have you heard anything about that? Oh, you don't know.
What?
Okay.
No, sorry. Go ahead. I'm being very dramatic in my space.
Oh, you're
suit.
Good. So that was a dude that they put prosthetics and makeup on.
Ooh,
and
holy
let me
crap.
Show you some shit. So his name
show
is
me some poo-poo.
His name is Robert Bobrovsky.
Oh. Why does he look familiar to me?
I don't know, but he's
outside of I just saw him dressed as an alien.
So yeah, let me pull
he's
you up to
actor,
a different tab.
Scroll down.
Sorry,
oh,
sorry,
okay.
sorry. I'm going
no,
to a different
cool.
tab. I'm going to his general. Like, he's a 7'7" tall dude.
Ah, that's where I've
yes.
seen him. I've seen him playing that basketball.
Yeah.
No offense, dude. That neck is very
dude,
recognizable.
But yes, like, so they used him as
I'll never
that
forget
creature,
that neck.
Dude. So, like, that was, like, him all tall and just in, like, a bunch of, like, body makeup and prosthetics and stuff.
That's, dude, that is very,
so cool.
I mean, hey, they did a fantastic, God. Oh, he's education of U.S. and U.S. Olympics and Paralympic Training Center. What? How's that education? Anyway, sorry. We're not going to just read the guys.
Stop
he's
it with sports.
He's sports.
I wanted to show you a fun fact and you made it sports.
Sorry. Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. My bad. It's just the sports are so close. It's just hard. It's just very hard for me
to ignore. But no, that's cool.
That guy, I thought he did a good job. They made it so freaking creepy. Mm-hmm.
And again, with that ending scene, like, do you remember when she drops the acid on the floor of the container, and then like, mm-hmm. if everything flies out, and it's like it's like a video game again. There's that POV shot of her literally climbing up the thing, and then all of a sudden the face jumps in.
Never happen. But go ahead.
But I mean, that was it.
She's like, not that strong. It's decompressed. Getting pulled out into space, I feel like she's not strong enough to... You got really close.
Sorry.
She's not strong enough to, like, pull herself back up, I feel like.
It's space, so, you know, if you give yourself a tug...
Yeah, but it wasn't just straight up space. It was all the air, like, getting sucked out, I felt like.
Oh, well, she was also carabinered to it on, like, a chest, D-ring or something.
Physically pulled herself back up there.
But so, physics of space, if the ship is pulling you at the certain speed, you're all of a sudden moving the same speed, so then all you need to do is tug a little bit to get yourself up a little more.
But I feel like you have a bunch, like, there's the decompressing section where...
It sucks you out, right?
Yeah. Which I feel like...
But it's not always, it's only because it's like, it's trying to match the compression from the inside to the outside. That's why there's that rush. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden everything equalizes out afterwards.
Hey, maybe it equalized and I just didn't really like register it.
I think that's it.
That it equalized.
That's why your astronaut suit flickers, because you just don't understand space physics.
I really don't. That is my fault. He is so, look at this.
Dude, I know.
So creepy.
Look at it. It's so creepy.
What is this? What is happening here? They forgot his penis.
Oh, wait. It's in there.
Is it? Oh, it's in there. It's like a cloaca, maybe.
I think Brandon would get excited about that Shape of Water style. Oh. Sorry. In my head, it made sense. I saw your confusion.
That was weird. Hey, there's no Brandon today, like, so you're allowed to say whatever you want. This is the time where you could express your feelings about Brandon. You know, always want to say some bad shit about it. He'll never hear it.
Send him this picture and be like, Shape of Water 2?
No, we should send it to him and be like, is this you, Brandon?
Oh, no.
Because he's tall and lanky for the people who have never seen him before.
He's not quite 7'7", but... And he doesn't have creepy holes
Feels
on his
like
back.
Feels like it sometimes.
But branching off of our love for like the cinematography, because I think we're both in agreement that it looked fucking amazing.
It's interesting that there were... Nothing.
Okay. I was going to say, I looked up the cinematographer. His name is Galo Olivares. And the only thing that I've heard that he has shot previously is Gretel and Hansel, like the serious kind of horror-esque one that I've seen. I've seen parts of that movie, but I didn't see the entire thing.
But I know what it is.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
vibe.
Like where they like grow up and then they're just like, I think, what's his face? Jeremy Renner is Hansel in it once they grow up and they're just like monster hunters and shit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think that's what the... storyline is like as kids they go to like the classic like witch's house, right? And then they fight back and kill the witch and then they become witch hunters. That's what it is. And then they're grown up and like towns like call upon them. They're like, there's a witch killing our children and can you kill it? And they're like, yeah, because we're badasses.
Call upon the town. The witch is here.
Witches, get your witches.
Witch, get your witches. Witches, Bricka. Did you ever see Don't Breathe?
I never did end up seeing it. I heard people generally were like intrigued by it. I don't know if everyone loved it, but
it's interesting. It's got the creep vibe, mm-hmm. because literally he like spoilers for Don't Breathe.
He's blind.
What?
He's blind. Is that the twist?
No, that's kind of a twist, but it's the twist. The twist is more that he's a psychopath that captures women in his basement. And so, like, they break into his house to steal something, I think.
Oh, because they're going to, like, yeah, they know he's
He
blind.
Captures the woman and tries to, I don't know if he does or try, he tries to impregnate her with a turkey baster.
Ooh.
Why? It's really creepy.
There's other ways to do that.
So, it's the same. Gross. It's the same. You could be a face hugger. It's the same director as Romulus.
Yeah. And Fede Alvarez.
What's his name?
Fede Alvarez is how I want to say it.
Sure.
I don't think it's
Fede. That's how you did say it. But is it, yeah, that's one of the few things. He hasn't directed a ton. Well, so I guarantee you he's going to get a bunch of freaking
recognition from this one.
And opportunities and stuff.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's had some opportunities. Like the couple other ones I've heard of a lot of his stuff. Like he did the 2013 reboot of Evil Dead, which I've seen.
Yep.
And then he did the 2022 reboot of Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
I did not see that one.
I may have seen parts of it. I may have came across it. But like he's gotten his hands on some recognizable names, right? Even though they're reboots and remakes. Yeah. Same thing
from
with
Dust,
Alien. But
Dust Till Dawn, TV show, couple episodes.
Mm-hmm.
One episode, sorry.
But
9 episodes of Calls. I don't know about that.
Yeah.
But also, you know what the weirdest thing is? I very rarely do we go to these big movies and I look up all their stuff and everyone always has something upcoming. This dude has nothing upcoming currently. Like at least that IMDb recognizes.
Yeah. I'm sure he will
Which
after
is
this.
Crazy. Yeah, that's right. That's what I'm assuming.
Yeah.
I hope. Because he definitely earned a shot that somebody will give him $100 million. Well, did I tell you how much this one cost?
No, you were looking it up.
I don't remember if I said it.
Talked about other
stuff. That was a long time ago. it was reportedly $80 million for production. So
in theory, they've made that back currently.
It for the production.
Yes.
We don't know about the marketing because it feels like they heavily marketed it.
Oh, they sure did. I saw videos. I think I sent it to Max because he's who I saw it with first. But
wow, dude, wow.
Well, like they showed AMC has
this is how you're gonna tell me this shit.
You were in Grand Junction or something. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah,
but
likely story.
But I sent him the video of like AMC's advertising.
Max doesn't like me anyways.
There was like people laying down in the theater with face huggers on their face and popcorn on the ground and stuff like that. Looks fun.
I imagine. I wonder if I assume Brandon's still gonna see this.
Mm-hmm. He should.
Even though I don't know how many like aliens he's seen
he's
and
in
whatnot,
it. He should see it.
he should see it for the Firefly alone.
Oh, did you not catch my joke back to your joke? It was a callback to your joke.
I didn't, sorry.
I said he's in
We've been stepping.
You should see it. See, it's funny if you heard what I said.
Yeah, we've been stepping on each other for a bit more, I feel like, today.
That's all right.
Hey, I'm fine with it. But yeah, so hypothetically, they made their money back, and I would assume... Now, I will say... When I was looking at this, it's Friday because we're recording on a Saturday. They're saying Friday, yesterday, it made $4.5 million, which means yesterday, freaking Deadpool beat them.
Yesterday, Deadpool beat them.
In a box office, Friday, box office. Deadpool made $4.8 million and Alien made 4.5.
Oh, so Deadpool is still making more money than they are.
Correct.
Is what you're saying.
I think I would assume the opening weekend they did not. Mm-hmm. That would be crazy.
Yeah.
But
Deadpool's like consistently still making a ton of money.
Yeah, dude, that's bonk. Okay, so this is the first since they came out on last Friday. Mm-hmm. Alien was the highest grossing. I'm not looking at how much high grossing, but they're the top earner every single day until yesterday, which the 23rd Deadpool beat them by like a little less than half a mil. It was like 300,000.
Yeah.
Which not that it's like a crazy, like they got beat by so much, but it's crazy to think that in the second weekend, Deadpool, it still might not be the highest grossing movie, which will be bonkers. And I will be a little disappointed. Like we said when we were talking about it coming out, and you're like, oh, it's finally coming out.
Yeah.
And I was like, Deadpool's finally going to get knocked off because this is the end, you know?
Yeah.
It ends with us. Like, it beat them like one weekend day, a Friday on a weekend when it came out.
Yeah.
Because they tack on all the previews.
Yep.
Then during the week, it was beating them, but then that was it. It didn't beat them.
Well, honestly, also. A little bit of a sidetrack, but what timing for Blake Lively to come out with her movie right after Ryan Reynolds?
Yeah, like, you really think that was on accident? You kidding
me? No way. I think that was so purposeful
and
like so smart because they are just always viewed as like the perfect couple. and just yeah, them well, coming out with their movies back to back is like is probably helpful.
Yes. Oh, I imagine it made. I bet you it made It Ends With Us most of its money because the ratings are okay. Like I know my mom saw it; she thought it was she liked it. She read the book, so she knew everything that was coming. I guess.
Sure.
And some of the people that she saw it with that didn't. Did you know, you know, generic person, a person exists that did not, honest to God, did not know that movie theaters had stadium seating or recliners currently.
That is fascinating. That sounds like an older person that hasn't been to the theaters in decades.
That sounds like such a depressing life. I can't fathom that. I don't go to the movies for like a week and I'm like, oh, it's been forever. I need to just go see literally anything that's going
to
happen.
Yeah, I mean, I know plenty, like slowly but surely I'm getting more people to go back to see like to the theaters because I just talk about movies more around them and the new stuff that's coming out. And I'm just like, yeah, I mean, it's a fucking experience. Like it's so much better than sitting at home watching a movie for the first time.
Do you think if you made plans with Max, then like right before mentioned, oh, Matt's coming also, then he would have canceled? Is that why you didn't invite me?
No.
Because he hates me so much?
No, it was because you're in Grand Junction.
No, it's because he hates me.
We'll keep saying that. And he'll keep saying the same thing too.
that he hates him? Yeah. That he hates me?
As he should.
No, he'll keep saying that.
But anyways,
we're talking about Alien.
Question, yeah, the question I wanted to ask you about the movie that I brought up prior to recording. In the beginning of this movie, we see that spaceship come up and it's searching for the alien, right? And then all of a sudden, it turns on the lights and you see all this debris from like a exploded ship or something like that. In one of the shots, they cut to is like a part of the ship turning and it has the letters that I've made out ROMO. What is that in reference to?
R-O-M-O.
Like, those are the only letters that are, like, part of Roma? That, like, slab of, like, that's still remaining. Like, I cannot... Because then, first time I saw it, I was like, oh, I wonder if that's the name of the ship from, like, the first movie or something like that. I don't know. And then I was like, that's probably not accurate, though, because then Ripley would be dead, probably. And then second time watching it, I was like, oh, it's Romulus. But I was like, no... Because that ship is intact later, and it's ROMO. So I'm like, I just don't know what it's from.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to think, because the only stuff that has happened before this was Prometheus, Alien Covenant, and Aliens. So Aliens, the ship, I'm almost positive, was the Nostromo. Maybe, wait, no. Let me look that up because it might be part of that word.
Yeah, I don't know. I just kept seeing it and they are alluding to something, but I just did not know what.
No, it's Nostromo.
Nostromo.
The original ship is Nostromo.
And so are we supposed to know what that is? Like,
yeah, I don't know because the Prometheus is the name of the ship. So Prometheus ship.
Yeah. So that's been boggling my mind.
But anyways, but dude, that ship's destroyed anyways. They crashed.
Who gives a
shit?
That
got crashed. And then in Covenant, I think they also crashed a ship.
God, such reckless flyers.
Oh, for real. I think Prometheus was the one with Idris Elba who just like kamikaze'd straight into the engineers leaving. Nice. Whatever the hell that ship was called. Uh-huh. And then it rolled up. Anyways, yeah, I don't know. Unfortunately, I don't know. That's why it was one of the reasons I did want to watch because, well, I have been watching them. It's spread out. I've had a very, you know, jammed packed life over the last couple of weeks.
It's fair.
And so, unfortunately, it's been really spread out. I wish it could have been more condensed and I could have.
Well, that's better than me. I didn't watch any of them prior to watching this.
That is very true. Some really small thing that I see in my notes is I thought it was very smart, and it's the first time I've known that they did it for the facehugger. They froze the facehugger.
Well, so
yeah, dude, that was so smart.
Well, so I thought they did a couple of smart things. Like, there's that factor. It's like, yeah, that makes sense. But then raising the heat in the room so that they can't sense you and stuff too.
Screechers,
it's like that's awesome.
They look like they're treating them like screechers from Tremors.
Yeah,
they're like, somebody needs to like throw a blanket over him and spray him with the fire extinguisher.
Yeah. You know, I thought that was a fun twist because I asked some other, I think I asked Max, I was like, is that something they've done in any of the other movies that you're aware of? And he was like, no, like that was cool. And
they
I was
never
like,
even
sweet.
Talked about it, dude.
Yeah.
But as soon as they were like, oh yeah, it sees through sound, which I mean, sound kind of, that kind of really checks out. Like I assume that. But nobody's ever talked about it. But then the heat thing, I'm trying to think if any of the other times it, I really like was like, oh, that's why. Oh, I could remember from this for that. So I wonder if they like completely made that up for this movie or it's something like the, you know, creepy face hugger inserting the seed giver, that it was something that Ridley Scott, you know, had originally intended, but never really got to express it well enough like previously.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's an extra feature to the lore that's kind of fun that people can enjoy now.
Yeah, and what dumbass that he like literally answers like a phone call in the middle of the room.
And then he just did, did all the things. He got scared. He perspirated. His hair, like hairs on his arm stood up. He changed his temperature so much. Like he fucked up.
He was awful. Also, I did like that they were like, okay, so if you're, you know, you get goosebumps. Yeah. And that's your body trying to cool you down. Yeah. And I don't know. That was like a real small line that really just was like, oh,
yeah,
you know,
that's fine.
That's smart. Oh, we're spreading knowledge. I bet you so many, like if you ask people probably a year from now, people would just like, that'll be one of the random facts that they know only because of the movie.
Yeah. Well, jumping off of that fact that you just said, like I wouldn't mind talking a little bit more about the story and the writing. Like I thought that a lot of what they did writing wise just through dialogue alone was really clever. And it just made sense, even though they just spent a brief amount of time on it. Like what you were just saying with like telling us all these little facts that we take into account as they go into this room and try to navigate through these face huggers. But also things like I loved the writing for when Andy finds out that the planet that Rain is planning on going to doesn't allow androids on it. And later when they're like, when he's all changed and he's a new android, like when they're going down to the laboratory, he's just like, she's after they let the alien get K, she's like, I can't believe you did that. And he's like, what, left someone behind? And then just looks at her.
Oh,
like all those little moments and little lines just like carried and passed through really well.
I agree. The dialogue felt very natural to me. You know, it felt like I want to say, you know, feels kind of improv-y that they just get, but I guarantee you how do I say this, it didn't feel improv-y, but it was just crazy natural. I thought it was a good
and
job.
That's really hard to achieve. You need like a combination of good writing and good acting to like accomplish
which speaking of which, like, you know, dialogue wise and writing wise kind of can roll into characters and acting and stuff. I think, you know,
who stole the show,
the pregnant chick,
most for you?
The pregnant chick character wasn't really flushed out. What'd you say?
I was just gonna say, in terms of acting, who stole the show most for you? I have an answer for this.
Andy?
That's who it was for me. I think Andy did.
I agree.
Fucking phenomenal.
I was gonna say Andy. He was, and especially when he changed, which was so interesting, because when he changed, I was like, oh, I miss
the old Andy.
I miss other Andy.
Yeah, brother
I like
Andy.
That. Because I really like that storyline. Yeah. Again, we're like with the writing. God, I, you know, my rating is slowly going up as we're talking about this.
Same.
It's not as, I don't think it's going to be as high as you.
Oh.
I really like the storyline of the dad jokes were literally just like her dad wrote the program, the whatever you're calling it, the programming and stuff, and put jokes in and stuff. So it's you know, she has this weird, you know,
attachment.
Weird relationship with her robot slash, you know, calls her brother, but really it's her dad.
Yeah.
I really like that relationship. They changed it. And, you know, I enjoyed that when they changed it, it was a good character also. It really drove the plot and it really felt, again, it felt like old school Alien where the rope with
you don't know if they're on your side.
Is, right. And also you could kind of count this as, the, you know, quote unquote classic Alien, I don't want to say trope, because literally I think this happens in like two of the seven movies. The alien betrays, or the synthetic betrays the humans, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the, especially in the first one, you watched Rook be an asshole.
Yeah.
And then this one, you know, he didn't necessarily, he wasn't playing along, but once he uploaded it, then he changed everything and really just, you know, let the humans die if he needed to, because that's not his main priority, and kind of betray them. So it, yeah. it was a good, like, still did that quote unquote, you know, trope, whatever, but they did it in a different way. And it wasn't just a copy paste from the original one. Oh, he's back.
Oh, yep, there I am. No, I agree.
Your camera looks so much better. So it looks so much more real when you like pop your head open and stuff like that. Like I can see the texture on your helmet.
Yeah.
And like your
Well, I also have
head.
The lighting from the like correct side too. Like my light.
I mean, I have lamps also.
My light is like shining right like on the top of my head up here.
That is very true.
As
it
well
is
as
like
the
perfectly.
Side, so.
It is perfect.
But
we lit this specifically. But yeah, that was good. And you did fantastic.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like the second viewing, I was able to like more focus on different things rather than just like kind of roll with the story, you know? And David Johnson, the actor playing Andy, man, he just plays like innocent, like his facial expressions, his eyes, and like the way he stands is so like innocent at first and everything. And then as soon as he changes, he's like literally standing upright and more like a just like menacing, honestly, in some ways. Like it's super interesting, and I loved what he did.
Yeah, minor changes that really change his character. And especially with being a synthetic or android, I don't know why I keep spacing what they call them.
Synthetics, I think.
It was a synthetic?
Yeah, okay. I think so.
I agree with that. And I don't know why it seems weird to me. So the robot thing.
They also call them fake people.
Being a fake person, he doesn't have like the full range of facial and emotions that he can really use to tell and act and express feelings. But he still did a fantastic job. God. With the limited space
well,
that
he also
had.
Hit this borderline area where you're just like, I don't know if you were trying to kill these people. Like, I don't know if you are on their side still, like the entire time.
Dude, I mean, what a great line when the Tyler, maybe, whatever, is running and he closes the door and he slides through perfectly. And she's like, you try to close it on him. And he's like, no, I timed it perfectly. Seems like I did it.
It's like I did it better than the last time. There's some that got through the last time.
But here's the thing. Is that the truth, or was he just didn't care and they made it through? And
I think
like,
it was.
Well, I'm just going to say this.
I think he timed it in a way. I think he hit the door with the intentions
did
that
he
could get through still, but he wouldn't have phased him if he did
that.
I'm trying
to remember if I can't think of it. If he paused before he closed the door, if he just immediately
a little bit. I was paying attention to one of those things. Like he got through, waited a little bit, hit it, and then I was just like. If he had stuttered, if Tyler had stuttered at all, like he wouldn't have made it through that door. But then, I mean, also going back to Kaylee Spaney as an actress, dude, she is doing fucking awesome. She is getting in really good roles. Like the last thing we saw her in was Civil War.
Yes, that's what I was
going
to
say. She is becoming one of my favorites to watch for now.
Dude, whether she's picking them or she has an agent picking them. Hey, she's 2 for 2 so far.
Yeah. Like
she also was in recently Priscilla.
Yes.
She was Priscilla. Which I did not see.
I didn't see it either. Yeah. But I heard good things about it. So.
Yeah. I mean, really, honestly, you know, she's been in stuff, but nothing like big until this year. And I mean, everybody get ready for, I mean, Bad Times at El Royale. Mm-hmm. That one was a good one.
I've heard of it. I hadn't
that
seen
was a
it.
A while ago. Oh my God. She's
she was a Pacific Rim.
No, okay. Okay. Yes. But there's another one on here that she's a voice in a video game, which might, don't look at it. Calm down.
What?
Which I wonder, well, so this might really, really, really point to what you're saying is I wonder if the director is a fan of horror games because one of the voices that she's in is Dead by Daylight, the video game.
Oh, cool.
Which is a very, like, you know, there's a creature or like a thing hunting you guys down. You're kind of trying to be sneaky. You're trying to hide.
Have you played this video
game? And so I've watched people play it. Okay. I don't play video games. I watch people play video games.
See.
But so there's one more step farther too. Watch. Guess what her character name in Dead by Daylight is?
Rain.
Yes, it is.
Oh,
it is Rain.
That's cool. So that's got to be on purpose.
Dude, it had to be. Yeah. It had to be some like, you know, oh, I'm going for this vibe. She's even in this, so I'm going to name her Rain. Yeah. That's so funny, dude. That's awesome.
Super interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. But so everybody needs to get ready for her next year, I bet. Or actually, realistically, probably the end of next year / 2025 will be the year of Kaylee Spaney. Because this between Civil War and this, yeah, she's going to get a lot of love. She's going to get a lot of recognition. And that's kind of how it works in Hollywood. Someone goes, mm-hmm, oh, you know, we're kind of aiming for this style. And it's like, well, you can just get her if you want. You know, she's not doing anything. She's in like one episode of Beef.
I don't remember who she was.
Well, I think, is there season 2 of Beef? I don't know.
I think coming. It's not out yet.
Yeah, she's in it says upcoming things for her actress, but Beef is released. So I don't know how that works. But the other thing she acted in is Wake Up Dead Man, which is coming out in 2025.
Hmm.
Oh, my year was off, just so we know. Maybe she's going to be big next year or the following year, because she'll be in productions next year probably.
Okay.
Like, you know, bigger movies, and then it'll take maybe a year or something like that. But Wake Up, Dead Man. Oh, it's the Knives Out mystery. Oh, she's going to be in the Knives Out, the next Knives Out that's coming out.
Okay.
Oh, my God. She's the lead, it looks like.
Isabella Merced? The other chick, the sister of the
pregnant one, the prego one.
Yeah, she was Dora in the Dora Explorer movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I did not realize
Maybe
that.
That's why they had her give a disgusting birth.
Of course.
That was gross, dude. That was gross.
Yeah, it was pretty gnarly.
Yeah, dude. It was like kind of like the one in Prometheus.
Yeah, I remember stuff like that happening in Prometheus for sure. And they used a lot of similar stuff too. Like I remember the helmet the astronaut helmet she put on had the same kind of lights on the bottom as well as like the top that they used in Prometheus. That was fun.
It was like a small shot, but it looked like a bowling pin that had a flat top on it. you saw it floating somewhere like once, but that is the structure that was in Prometheus that had the black goo.
Oh, they showed it like the lab or something like that.
Yeah, I think so. Let me look at Prometheus photos and see if they have it one, and I can show you.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah, that's fun that they're tying in those movies.
It was a fantastic blend of like, you know, the old school, new school, homage to some other styles. He definitely felt like he made it his own. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just, hey, here's the next one in the Alien franchise.
Yeah.
Ooh. It's kind of hard to see. So this down here. Oops.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
That's
right. So that's what oozed the black.
Don't those cobras come out of that too?
Excuse me?
The little alien cobras, they come out of it. Like there's in Prometheus.
Are you talking about like baby aliens?
They're like cobra shaped face huggers or something. Let me see if I can.
Oh,
you know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about.
Didn't they come out of those? It's been a while.
I don't know. I believe they came out of like eggs, I believe. That, so I think that it was meant to expose.
I just don't remember.
Yeah, no, I don't remember the step-by-step process of making aliens. I don't know how much more you have.
I mean, the last thing I wanted to bring up was, honestly,
let me get this thing off the screen. Oh, go ahead. Keep going. You're good. Okay. What's the last thing?
Last thing I want to bring up is honestly one of the first things that we talked about before this movie even came out, and was like, I sent you and, Brandon, I think, a video of like the practical effects of the
Max
face huggers.
You didn't get it, Max.
He got it too eventually, but you guys definitely got it first. But But no, it's cool. Like, it's literally like a behind the scenes of like the crew just hanging out. Mm. And this guy is just controlling a face hugger, like a remote control face hugger that's running around on the ground going over a cable ramp. And it's making the clicky noises and stuff. It's so fucking creepy and cool.
Dude,
that's just,
they definitely tapped into the practicals.
Yes,
a lot of it. And it wasn't just all practicals. Like we said, there definitely were CG. You know,
yeah, but sometimes
good CG, bad CG.
Sometimes I noticed the times they did use CG, they just like held on it for a split second. Like the shot that jumps to mind for me is when they get out of that cryo room where all the face huggers are. They cut to the shot of like the hand, the creepy fingers all trying to get through door, but they hold on it for literally like a half a second or a second just to get that sense of like, ooh, creepy, and then they cut back to the characters, and I thought that was really clever.
Yeah, no, they did a good job of, even when they did CG, they didn't hold on it too long. Mm-hmm. There's one super mega mega one that is the big hurt, is the dude's face looked fucking horrible.
I know.
Half the time. The other half was, I thought it looked great.
Yeah, and it was
so weird.
There's literally someone that says Ian Holm Rook facial and vocal reference, but then Daniel Betts is the facial and vocal performance, like the performer. Mm. So they definitely did like a deep fake thing or something.
Well, so my assumption is he's dead.
Is he?
Wait.
Oh, Ian yes. Holm. He died in 2020.
Yep. Oh. That's what I was going to say. That's my assumption is why that happened. Because, I mean, if not, well, it would have been hard to have him do it and then have to make him so much younger because you have to be the same age. But I think it would have been better, easier to overlay that then. Because, I mean, we have moments like, Indiana Jones, the most recent one, Dial of Destiny, which had the bad moments, but I didn't think it looked bad.
No, it didn't. And that's the distinguishing factor, right? You still had the actor actually doing it. They just aged them down versus, I don't know if you saw The Mandalorian, like, second season. I think they have... they have young Luke Skywalker come in, but I don't think they had what's his face? I'm blanking on who's
Mark Strong.
It's not Mark Strong. You asshole. God, what? Why am I blanking on his name?
Ian Holm. Henry Cavill.
No.
Robert De Niro.
Who played Luke Skywalker? Why am I blanking on this?
Let's see.
Mark Hamill.
Idris Elba?
Mark Hamill. You were close with Mark Strong, but Mark Hamill.
I was just seeing what celebrities I could list off the top of my head.
Yeah, but like in the Mandalorian episode, they had Mark Hamill, his face was deep faked onto a different person, and it looked just as off-putting, honestly. So I'm not a fan of it. I'm not a fan of that strategy.
We're not at that level yet. I'm sure we'll get there with the face, but you really got to do some work. You got to do some other things to, you know, block it a little bit, not completely sit on it the whole time. I really think they need to need to work around it. A la like when we're doing, you know, some CG with the face huggers, and you just get it for like a couple seconds maybe, instead of we hold on it and then everyone gets to sit there and identify that's weird, that looks weird, this looks good. Instead, we need like a little, you know, have them talking in the background more, you know, in somebody else, it's somebody else's shot and he's just like in the frame, you know, some shit like that.
Yeah. Well, and they did do a combination of that actually worked really well, because I don't know if you remember, but the lead up to the reveal of it being Rook, like we saw that synthetic plenty of times. And he was like, he had a little like scream or whatever that scared everybody and whatnot. And like they're moving him around, but they hid his face with lighting. So like for a decent amount of time until that big reveal, and like, it looked good prior to, but then the big reveal was just like, it's like everyone should be like, oh, whoa. But I was just like, oh, that looks kind of bad.
I agree.
But anyways, that was probably the last thing I had. I had a lot of fun with this movie.
Yep. I did have a lot of fun as well. So I think we are ready to grade, 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 grade,
grade, grade, grade, grade, grade, grade, grade, grade.
You didn't do the fart noise. Come on, dude.
Me?
Yeah. Thank you. All right. Now we're ready to grade.
Finally.
Do you know where you want it to go? Do you need a second?
I might need a second. Do you want to go first? Do you know?
No. No, I haven't. I mean, you know, no. I want to nail it down a little bit more.
I mean, I know mine's going to be given a decently high rating. Like, I thoroughly enjoyed this movie. Upon second viewing, I enjoyed it even more, just finding more and more things to appreciate. The amount of talent that was on this project and, like, in some levels, genius. Like, I just, like, I really liked the way they told this story and, like, with the characters and the writing. Everyone was seemed like they were on their A game as best they could be outside of a couple of the CG mishaps and stuff like that. But a movie like this definitely gains, extra points for me for when they have amazing cinematography and lighting. I have, like I said earlier, a movie hasn't intrigued me as much like that since John Wick 4 with the style, like theatrical style of Dan Lawson's cinematography. So, yeah, I mean, looking at some of my other ratings, it's like, oh, where do I want to put this? God, there's... Yeah, I mean, I have a feeling mine's going to be higher than yours for sure, but this might change, but I think I'm going to put it in the same tier that I have. Oh, gosh. I'm looking at my ratings, and I don't know why I have the Deathly Hallows Part 2 at 9. It's like... I know it's just good, and it's probably nostalgia, honestly. I just really enjoy the way they wrapped the things up, outside of the corny, whatever, like, sub-ending.
But, the old man Harry.
Yeah.
Old man Harry.
So
I guess he wasn't that old.
That's the only 9 even I have currently, and then everything else just below that at 8.75 is, like, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, Oppenheimer, The Revenant, even, and Arrival. So I think I'm going to put that, honestly, in that same tier. Like, I think Deathly Hallows is going to have to bump somewhere else, but I'm going to put it in the same tier of how much I enjoyed, like, The Revenant, honestly. So I'm going to go
8.75. Okay. Do you think, have you put anything that you just watched in theaters at a 9 yet?
No.
You have anything?
I mean, the most recent one I have is probably 1917 or Joker at 9.5. Okay.
Civil War is the closest thing to me.
I didn't get to rate it because you guys did that episode without me. I still have the notes for it.
That is very true. I do hate you. T-Max? But, yeah, I don't know. This is... Because you're kind of at that level. If I did Deadpool... And Wolverine, that might hit a 9. It's hard to put, like, things that I've only watched, like, once in theaters at a 9. Deadpool.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Deadpool I saw twice. Okay. So it's like, that's why I kind of would feel if I were be grading that. Now, this is not a 9. Now, I'm not because, like, you know, I let the end dragged a little bit. It was very, very fun. But it will be in the 8s. I mean... It keeps getting bumped up. So, like, I'm not that much lower than you, honestly. I am slightly lower than you. I'm right now, when I rolled in, I was in the 8 to 8.25 range. And now I think I'm in the 8.25 to 8.5 range.
Yeah.
I thought the production design was, I mean, second to none. That I can think of, it like it's at the level of everything else. The sound design, I was wondering how your mix was in the theater, because the only time that was worked out for me to see it was I had to see it in Prime.
Ooh.
Which I think that's the one that they're like, oh, the seats will vibrate, which I think they just
turned
the music up.
Relatively recently once, and it was like too loud.
Correct. Yep. So
yeah,
I had that mix where there was like the music was a little too loud here and there to me. So it kind of hurt the experience in a small amount.
And your
ears. Assume it is. Yeah. For real. Because I think they just crank it because they're like, oh, the seats will vibrate. But which I think just means we're going to turn the bass up.
Yeah. But Dolby, the seats vibrate a bit too. So like,
I hear it. I wish I could see it in Dolby. But again, life packed. I had like one chance, like slot to see it realistically. Yeah, so fair. I was like, when can this work? So anyways, production design, fantastic. Yep. The sound was really good. I don't know how I felt about watching the alien pop out of
Nevaldo's chest.
Yes, that one. The sound was pretty good. It was just like, I don't know how much. Kind of felt a little weird to me. But the rest of it was good. I mean, the acting I had no problem with. I hated that one kid. But just means he was a good actor.
Unless he's like that in real life.
Yes. Yeah, I just hate whatever. I hate him anyways. Good casting then.
Yeah.
The story was pretty damn good. Like, it was such a wonderful world that was built in. I don't know. It's hard for me to really, like, I don't have a ton of just like straight up knocks. I want to put it on the level of, let's see, 8.25 is like Anatomy of a Fall, Saw, John Wick 4, Bullet Train, Shape of Water. 8.5.
You can go 8.75 too.
Well, I'm definitely not doing that. That's like Interstellar for me, which it's a tick down from Interstellar. But I want to, at the moment, you know what? I'm going to put it at 8.25. And for whatever reason, it feels like it fits the other movies that are 8.25, but it feels like it should be at an 8.5. I'm very conflicted. But I do think it was just like technically a good movie. Yeah. Like what they were, I'm going to get 8.5. 8.5, and what they get boosts for, I mean, one, production design is one of my favorite things. So it's like if you nail production design, it's a big boost. The other is that, like, when you look at it, they had a large feat to do. Like, this was a big thing. It's a beloved series that has spanned decades and decades, and they're just basically picking it up, and it's like, I'm going to place it right in between everybody's two favorites, and I'm going to like pay, you know, respect to the series and show things that connected and do away, but I'm not just copying the stuff, you know? It's going to be my own movie. I wonder if he's going to make any more Aliens, because I know he said, he would love to do like a co-direct a Alien versus Predator with the director of Prey.
He's like,
maybe we could do a co-director like they did on some other movie that like he directs part of it and I direct part of it. Which I think, you know, that'd be cool. So I'm excited to see more stuff from him. I think he nailed this one. It was impressive.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. I actually had a shit ton of fun. Yeah. And also I'm a little worried that this stuff, it might kind of just not get as appreciated as it should. It's got, on Rotten Tomatoes, it's got 80 from critics, 86% from audience. IMDb is at 7.4.
Yep.
And, you know, like we said, you know, if Deadpool beats Alien this weekend, I'm going to be so freaking pissed, because this is not an original, but it's pretty original. It's new. It's really fun. And it's going to be sad when people don't go to the theaters to see this.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know. That is a tough one. And I don't know. These ratings could be from, like, you know, the people that are critically looking at it versus, like, I think its success is higher than what we're seeing these numbers for because of the franchise and the fans of this franchise.
I don't know, but I felt like we agreed, other than the you know, the couple CG here and there, I thought it was
pretty
critically
solid.
Like, if I'm looking at like the technical side of it, like, I don't know what problems they would have.
But I mean, also look at movies like let's see, I'm gonna look up Ex Machina as an example, because that one was like one of the first A24 films to be recognized into the Oscars, and that's rated at a 7.7. And those are, you know, it's A24, like, they're very original, unique, and their stories are really deep. And sometimes they usually hit in that seven range, but that doesn't mean they're not really good. So
it's true. I don't know. They're always so weird. Yeah. But more than anything, the money is going to bug me. If it doesn't, yes. if it doesn't make more money, then it deserves to make more money.
Yes.
Than what it's going to end up.
Yeah. Agreed.
Unfortunately, hopefully not, but we'll see. We'll have to see. We'll have to see. All right. Well, maybe, you know, we'll check in with that in the future, give you an update on that. But that's everything for this week for Alien Romulus.
Woo! Romulus.
It was exciting. Thank you, everybody. I didn't try to seed anybody while we were doing this.
Well, you did leave at some point. I don't know what you were doing, but
that is true. Nobody knows about that. I don't know what you're talking about. Sweet. So that's this comeback Sunday. We're going to have the start of our nostalgia movie club. Jeff, Brandon, and I are going to be just watching some old movies that make us feel all warm and fuzzy. The first one is Jeff's pick, The Time Machine. 2002.
With Guy Pearce.
Next week. Yep. Weird kind of connection, kind of, to the Alien universe because he was in Prometheus.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
After that is A Knight's Tale, my pick. Mm-hmm. A Knight's Tale. And then we end with, the third week is going to be The Producers.
Yep.
Realizing this kind of real time that this month has five Sundays. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have another fantasy film draft. If anybody didn't see that, we did one last week for Johnny Depp. We'll do one, another one at the end of this month. I don't know if we'll do a genre. Maybe we'll do one of the directors or actors that are in with the nostalgia movies. Ooh. Maybe we'll still figuring that out. And then there's going to be another week that I don't know.
Wild card week.
Wild card week that I believe there is a yep, there's that. And also I think there's a poll that you can vote on the movies, and if we get enough votes we'll just do whatever the audience pick is.
Ooh, nice.
If not, I do whatever I feel like, which maybe not everyone loves, so awesome. Come tune back. I think next week we might have some more Fallout episodes. We might have Blink Twice. I'm not really sure. We'll
be telling you about
the things I guarantee
you.
We'll be shut up. All right. Well, say goodbye, Brick. Whatever, Jeff, whatever your name is. Say goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. Jeff, no!